بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. سيد الشارف ودار الشيخ حضرت حكيم محمد أخضر صاحب رحمة الله عليه. The title of which is نظر دون تيه ديار مدينة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
نظر دون تيه ديار مدينة دل اور جاب قرار مدینہ. نظر دونتی ہے دیار مدینہ ہے دل اور جاب قرار مدینہ. وہ دیکھو احد پر شجاعت کا منظر شہیدوں کے خون شہادت کا منظر. وہ دیکھو احد پر شجاعت کا منظر شہیدوں کے خون شہادت کا منظر. وہ سامنے سبز گنبد کا منظر اسی نے تو آرام فرما ہے سرور
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
وہ سامنے سبز گنبد کا منظر اسی نے تو آرام فرما ہے سرور. ابو بکر فاروق عثمان و حیدر یہی تے پروان شیعم انور. ابو بکر فاروق عثمان و حیدر یہی تے پروان شیعم انور. یہی سے تو اسلام پہلا جہاں میں مدینہ کا شہرا ہے ہفتہ آسمان میں. یہی سے تو اسلام پہلا جہاں میں مدینہ کا شہرا ہے ہفتہ آسمان میں. نشان نبی ہے نشان نبی ہے یہ مسجد قبا کی قندل طیبہ نبی کی ضیا کی. نشان نبی ہے یہ مسجد قبا کی ہے قندیل طیبہ نبی کی ضیا کی. مدینہ کا مدینہ کے دیوار در دیکھتے ہیں عجب حال قلب و جگر دیکھتے ہیں. مدینہ کے دیوار در دیکھتے ہیں عجب حال قلب و جگر دیکھتے ہیں. یہ مسکن ہے شاہ یہ مسکن ہے شاہ مدینہ کا اختر فلک بوت زن ہے یہاں کی زمین پر. یہ مسکن ہے شاہ مدینہ کا اختر فلک بوت زن ہے یہاں کی زمین پر. نظر دونتی ہے دیار مدینہ ہے دل اور جابے قرار مدینہ. وہ دیکھو احد پر شجاعت کا منظر، شہیدوں کے خون شہادت کا منظر، وہ دیکھو احد پر شجاعت کا منظر، شہیدوں کے خون شہادت کا منظر.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، الحمدللہ وکفا وسلام علی عبادی الذین اصطفیٰ، اما بعد. This beautiful bayan of our wonderful illustrious Dada Shaykh Hazrat Shah Haki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Nawar Allah Marqadahu, Rumi Zamana, Tabrizi Zamana, Mujaddidi Zamana. Hazrat is teaching us a very very important aspect with regard to our Iman and treading the spot of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person cannot get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the love of Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala sallam. And a person who realizes the great position of Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala sallam, we cannot imagine the rank and the position of Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala sallam. We just get an inkling, an idea, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentions, wa rafa'na laka zikrak, that O Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala sallam, your personality is of a very very great position. Your name alone, just your remembrance, we have raised so much, that whenever Allah's name is taken, the name of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam is taken. So from here we learn, especially in the present climate, instead of making noise against the enemies who are trying to defame Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is totally impossible, nobody can ever do that. As our Hazrat explained so beautifully, when the sun is out so bright and beautiful, and anybody says that the sun is not shining, then he makes himself a fool. He becomes an idiot himself. So we, as the claimers of the law of the ummatis of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and thus also it is a special gift from Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala has chosen us to be in the ummat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the solution to all these problems in the world is that I myself, we all should check how much of love do I have for Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That Hazrat is teaching us here, let's forget every sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even the resting place of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Mubarak Sati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever is slightly connected to Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person should have more love for that than his own self and his own family and the whole world. So Hazrat is explaining, when a person gets an idea of the inkling of the love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is where we will learn it from these Mubarak Majalis, that first we learn to love the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will get an idea how to learn to love Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we will get an inkling of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person starts learning how great and honorable Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam's position is, and then the yearning in the heart comes, nazar doonti hai diyari Madina, hai dil aur jaan beqarari Madina, that now you just want a glimpse of the beautiful city of Madina Sharif, and your heart and your whole body is just restless, that when can I go to Madina Sharif? And especially in the current climate, myself, we all should ponder and think how we should be dying to be going for the ziyarat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But because of my weakness, I haven't appreciated the ziyarat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with by not following the footsteps of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala has shown us that how Allah Ta'ala has put a barrier, and in order to remove this barrier, we have to be making tawbah, istighfar, we have to be reciting abundance of durood with love
and increase our durood upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, increase our following the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reading the seerah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we'll understand and realize that the true slaves of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, who sat directly in the company of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what love they had for Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can't imagine. Hazrat just give us an idea and paints a beautiful picture and says that if you really want to learn love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then wo dekho uhad par shajaat ka manzar, shaheedon ke khoon e shahadat ka manzar. Then look at the Mount of Uhud. When you come to Medina Sharif, you see the beautiful mountain of Uhud, which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. This is the mountain of Jannat. And Hazrat says that look at the bravery. When you just look at that mountain, look at the history of that mountain. What was the bravery of the lovers of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who in turn had learned the great love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they would sacrifice everything to protect the deen of Allah, to protect the Nabi of Allah, and to protect their iman. Today we are all worried of protecting our lives, we are not worried of protecting our iman, we are not worried of protecting the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat says, if you want to see what is real bravery and what is real manhood, is that a person sees that these are the great lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that see the blood of the martyrs are still, so to say, dropping down from Mount Uhud. And you can see how the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala gave their lives to protect the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to protect the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person sees this, then a person gets encouraged. And that is why we should be reading about the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, their life, and how they gave their life for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now a person becomes more eager to get closer and closer to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from a distance when he sees, wo hai saamne sabz gumbad ka manzar, that there is a beautiful green dome, a beautiful feature of the green dome, a person gets overtaken by that. Because the value of that dome is because Muslime to aram e farmae sarwar. That is the sign where the resting place of the king of both the world, Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is resting under that Mubarak dome. The dome becomes so Mubarak. We chose anything, and this is what is called nisbat, connection. A value of a person is according to how much he's got connection with true value, and that is value of iman. And a person can't have iman without the complete and perfect love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. If you want the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then announce, O my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they'll have to follow me, follow my way of life. Then Allah will make you his beloved. So a person realizes that under that Mubarak green dome, that dome has become so Mubarak because of the beautiful resting place and the beautiful countenance of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can we imagine the nur that is emitting from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that makes everything around there so Mubarak? And then Hazrat says, now just think, go back in the corridors of history and think what was the beautiful scene at that time when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina to Munawwara and started spreading the nur of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and great personalities like Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Ali Haidar radiallahu ta'ala, when they saw the nur of Nabuwat and they learned about the nur of Tawheed, then they saw that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that great personality which Allah ta'ala mentioned, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. When the world was locked in darkness, Allah Ta'ala send this embodiment of nur, that spiritual nur which enlighten the whole world. And like moths, when they see a light, where there is fire burning, they want to give their life for that light, that they know that this is where we will get direction. So Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala were like those moths, and these great personalities, how they like that beautiful sun is shining so bright, and these were the moths around the company of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the time close to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the majlis of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from there, Allahu Akbar, that news spread throughout the world. Hazrat says, yahi se to Islam phaila hai jahan mein, Medina ka shohra hai hafti aasmaan mein. That from here we see now how the noor of Islam, that beautiful way of life, that a person is looking for peace, happiness, contentment, and how beautifully Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala has put it, that we were a nation that was our most degraded nation. For Azzal Allah bin Islam, Allah gave us honor and dignity when we saw the nur of Ida, the nur of Islam, and that beautiful way of life. Islam is a complete way of life, that myself, Allah Ta'ala give me to keep far from reality. We have to start loving Islam, and then see how that nur will spread. And we see from there how the Medina Sharif became the famous city in the whole world until today. And not only in this world, in the year after also, in the heavens also, the Malaika, they love the city of Medina Sharif because of the beautiful countenance, the nur of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Further Hazrat explains, Nishane Nabi hai ye Masjid Quba ki, hai kindil taiba ye Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki ziya ki. That when Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina Sharif, the first Masjid Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam established was Masjid Quba. That was the first light, so to say. And Hazrat put it so beautifully, that was the first candle that lit up the nur in the entire Medina to Munawwara. Like Hazrat explained so beautifully here, that we are all, if lights go off and we all scream, it's dark, no light will come. But if a simple person brings one candle and light it and put it on the minbar, so much light will come. And each one bring one candle, how lot of light will come in the masjid. Exactly today we are saying the world is full of fitna, etc. The fitna is, myself have gone far away from the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's senseless screaming and toying and going placarding in front of the embassies, etc. We just make a fool of ourselves. If myself make a firm effort that I must bring one sunnah in my life, so much of nur will come in my life that will start spreading. And in the home, and from the homes, in the societies, and then see how the nur of Nabuwat will spread throughout the world, that the world also now won't able to make a noise. They will see the true reality of the beautiful lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here also we all have to learn a very important lesson, as it teaches us, that never ever forget your beginnings. That Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beginning in Medina Sharif was Masjid Quba. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go regularly after Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was built. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ever forgot Masjid Quba. Every week Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go perform Ishraq there. And tell today this is the great sunnat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So from here also it's important for us to realize that never ever forget our ustad who taught us alif ba ta sa. Never ever forget our mashayikh and our parents. They put us on this line. So a person who realizes this, that person will progress far in life. And we see from that candle, the whole Nabi from Medina Sharif enlightened and became that beautiful bright sun that tells today the nur of Nabuwat is spreading from Medina Sharif. Despite the enemies, yuriduna ayyufiu nur Allahi biafwahim. Wallahu mutimmu nurihi walau kariha al-kafirun. They trying to put the light of Islam, but all they can do, Allah Ta'ala says, they can only try with their propaganda machine. all their lives in the news, media, etc. They can try what they want to. Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala will establish that light. So we should be making dua that oh Allah use us also. Make us among those people that get attached to the lifestyle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and spread this nur of sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam throughout the world. And then a person will realize that Madina ke dar wa diwar, Madina ke diwar wa dar dekhte hai, ajab hal qalb wa jigar dekhte hai. Now when you see when that love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and iota just penetrates your heart, and the enjoyment of practicing on sunnah and the enjoyment of reciting durood upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, now there's a different enjoyment when you look at Madina Sharif. Now you look at Madina Sharif, you think of the old city of Madina Sharif, and a very very strange feeling goes through your heart, goes through your body, and think that what sacrifices Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has made in that city. How Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, their object and purpose were not like myself, worried of houses, worried of cars, worried of position. They lived in simple houses, but what the nur of Nabuwat and what hidayat spread throughout the world. So now a person thinks of that picture, and not now we think which hotel I am staying in. And we worried of the 5-star hotel, and like Hazrat teaches us, right in Madina Sharif, we forget about the sunnahs of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We sitting on armchairs and having our meals, etc., right in front of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala has shown us today that the evil of death, how Allah Ta'ala has put a barrier, that now we are all yearning to go to Madina Sharif, but the protocols are so much. We have to be making tawbah, istighfar, and crying and begging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah forgive us and bring us back onto the Mubarak life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Finally, Hazrat mentioned so beautifully that what is Madina Sharif? Do we know what the city is all about? Ye maskan hai shah Madina ka akhtar, ka falak bota zan hai yaha ki zami par. That all Hazrat addressing himself but teaching us that all Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all Hazrat Hakim Akhtar sahab rahmatullah alayhi, that this is the beautiful resting place of the king of Madina Sharif, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is his Mubarak home presently, that even the sky, so to say, are leaning down and are kissing the beautiful ground of Madina Sharif. That who is there in Madina Sharif? The king of both the worlds, the nur that Allah Ta'ala has created first, that personality that Allah Ta'ala loves. Myself, all of us, we should see our attachment towards Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding to learn and get an idea of the love of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and build our connection with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulihil Kareem. Amma ba'd. We are doing about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the kitab Hayatul Muslimin. Last week we had done, let's repeat this last section again. Regarding the time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent outside his house, Hassan al-Husayn radiallahu anhumah narrate on the authority of their father Ali radiallahu anhu that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at all times pleasant and smiling. People would not quarrel in his absence. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not speak until another speaker completed and became silent. He overlooked the disrespect which was in the conversation of a stranger. He did not interrupt the conversation unless it exceeded the bounds of propriety. He would then intervene and bring it to an end, either by his express prohibition or by leaving the company. This was his attitude with the general public, that is, with those whom he had connection, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Regarding his attitude towards his enemies, something will be said about it now. That Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that once someone asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Rasulullah, curse the mushrikeen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, I was not sent as one who curses, I was only sent as a mercy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's habit was to even ask for the betterment of his enemies. Occasionally he would supplicate to Allah Ta'ala for protection against his enemies. In a lengthy hadith narrated by Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha regarding the incident of Taif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to the torture of the kuffar on this occasion. to have been severer than the hardship which he suffered during the battle of Uhud. On that occasion, at Taif, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam introduced Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the angel in charge of the mountains. The angel greeted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, "O Muhammad, I am the angel of the mountains. Allah Ta'ala has sent me to you so that you command me. If you command, I will crush the people of Taif between these two mountains." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, "No, I hope that Allah Ta'ala will create from among them such men who will worship only Allah Ta'ala and associate none with him." At this critical time too, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam never thought of revenge. He only had to give the order and his enemies would have perished. But he chose to forgive them and supplicate on their behalf. He confronted his opponents with love and affection. In a lengthy hadith, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu narrates an incident about a Jew who at that time was the subject of the Muslim state in Medina Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam owed the Jew some money. Once in demanding his money, he refused to allow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to go home. He blockaded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the masjid from Zuhr until Fajr of the next day. When the people started to demonstrate with the Jew, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam prevented them and said, "Allah Ta'ala has forbidden me to be unjust to those with whom I have a treaty and with those whom I have no treaty. Allah has forbidden me to be unjust to those with whom I have a treaty and even those who I don't have a treaty with." Later during the day, the Jew proclaimed, "I bear witness that there is no deity but Allah Ta'ala, and I bear witness that verily you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, are the Rasul of Allah." The Jew then said, "I adopted this attitude towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam because in the Torah a description of the Nabi is given. The Torah describes the Nabi to be Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. His birthplace will be in Makkah. His place of immigration, Medina. His kingdom will be over the land of Sham. He will not be harsh. He will not be loud in the marketplaces. He will not commit acts of immodesty. I wish to ascertain whether this man is indeed Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muhammad stated in the Torah." Hazrat Ali said, "If these hadiths are read once daily, one will very soon realize the change towards piety which will overcome one." That is, we are reading about the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As you continue reading about it daily, inshallah, life change will come into a person's life. Allah Ta'ala grant Allah tawfiq to make amal.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بشر المنافقين بأن لهم عذابا أليما، الذين يتخذون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين، أيبتغون عندهم العزة فإن العزة لله جميعا. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. We are in this what they call the festive season, and really this talk Allah make us remember should have been given before the Diwali, before the Guy Fawkes, but still all this Christmas, New Year, all these things are coming. So we should be very careful in whose footsteps we follow. And Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala warns us in this ayat and many other ayat also, very clear ayat, that what our attitude, our relationship should be with regard to the non-believers. We live around them, we do business with them, in the business places we are with them, we work with them in many places. So all our relationship with them, we should be very, very careful that to what extent we have relation, what kind of relation. Islam is a complete perfect religion, and Islam has allowed all how we live even amongst non-Muslims, and has regulated us, taught us how we should live. So it is very important that we keep all these things in mind, and we should educate ourselves. Alhamdulillah, there are plenty of ulama everywhere, and there are details of these matters. They cannot be all spoken about at one time, but we should try and find out, and every one of us, how much we are involved with non-Muslims. in our workplace, whatever it is, then we should find out what our attitude should be towards them. So in this ayat kareema, Allah tabaruk wa ta'ala says, Bashir al-munafiqeen, give glad tidings. This is a taunt that to the munafiqeen, give them good news, give them glad tidings. It is taunting them, and the Quran Sharif is doing this. That shows that for such people to adopt such an attitude is also quite in order. And what should you give them the good news about? بِأَنَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا, that a very painful punishment is allotted to them. They are going to face a very, very painful punishment. Yeah, Allah says that this, give it to the munafiqeen. As we know that munafiqeen are those people who outwardly show that they are believers, but in their hearts they don't have iman. So we should be very careful, and we find the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, the great awliya, ulama, always fear of nifaq upon them. That what our condition is, for example, when we are in Ramadan, out of Ramadan, what is our condition? What is our condition when we are here in the majlis? And when we are out of the majlis, what is our condition? When we go for Hajj Umrah, what is our condition? When we just are still at Jeddah, after leaving Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, many times our condition changes already. We go in Jamaat, mashallah. We become extra pious, we do so many good things, but then when we are the next day in our businesses again, when we are with our family, so we all should fear this. And a person will benefit tremendously from this. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when he taught us Bukhari Sharif, and when the hadith came that the signs of a munafiq are three, and then the details were given, so he said those who think of somebody as that he is a munafiq and he's got these signs in him, that person will not benefit from these lessons at all. In fact, he will harm himself. Though he's sitting in a sabak of Bukhari Sharif, he's sitting in a Darul Uloom, but he will be harming himself. And that person who looks at himself, that are these things in me, that the person will benefit. So yeah, also very easy, and nafs and shaitan will make it for us that we think other people are munafiqeen. Our minds will go to others, that other people are doing this, they are doing that, so they are the munafiqeen. For them a terrible punishment, but we don't worry for ourselves. A person like Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, what a great person, what a great person. But he also went to Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he said, I'm not asking you to give me the list of the munafiqeen. He, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, had informed Hazrat Huzaifa and secretly, and told him to keep it a secret. So that is your secret, you can't divulge that secret. But just inform me of so much, that is an Umar's name in that list. So how much Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what a great man, but he had this fear. And we are quite convinced that we are perfect mu'mineen, we are mukhlisin, we are muttaqeen, we are quite content with ourselves, and with other people we easily find fault, and we easily ascribe all these things to them. So yeah, anyway, the Quran Sharif says, gives, and in various ayat of the Quran, and the Quran Sharif is what a guiding kitab for us. In various other ayats also Allah explains the various qualities, and we should see, are these not in us? So yeah, Allah Ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَتَّخِذُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَا, that those who take the non-believers, the open kafirs, they are munafiqeen, and they take the kafirin, the open kafirs, who admit that they are kafirs, who know that they are kafirs, and they know that we don't believe, and they take them as their friends. مِن دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and they discard the believers. They don't take believers as their friends. Yeah, also, mu'mineen is a clear word. Munafiqeen has come, Kafirin has come and Mu'mineen has come. Munafiqeen are those people who are very, very dangerous. They are the snakes in the grass. They are like our friends, very close to us. And they are also in the history of Islam, we read that they were those people who showed a lot of love for Islam, lot of love for the Muslims. So much so that they were those people who were close to great, great people. But inside, they caused all the problems. Just like the Munafiqeen in the time of Hazrat Usman, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and after that, who were the Shias really. And the Shias who have got this taqiyya, and they show that they are very good believers. And these people are also such that if we see them, like at Masjid al-Nabawi, when they were allowed to come, the man, the woman would gather, and how they would cry. You would think, really, these people are the real lovers, but really, they are terrible, terrible enemies. And they show an outward, they will show forms of great piety also, great generosity also, great kindness also, but actually they are filled with hatred and with enmity for the true believers. So these people are such. So the Kafirin, on the other hand, are open. We know who they are. The Mu'mineen are also quite clear who the true Mu'mineen are. So Allah says these are those people who take the Kafirin as their friends. Now in here, there are various levels. It's very important for us to study this. Ulama have written on it extensively also, and we should acquaint ourselves. One is, like for example, to take them as our bosom friends. To take any non-believer as our bosom friend, and we divulge our secrets and the secrets of the Muslims. And unfortunately, this is an ongoing thing in the history of Islam. Mu'mineen has been also referred to as very bhole bhale, very simple-minded. They easily trust somebody. They just have good opinions about people. That is a quality of the true believer. But in that process, it is that we get hurt also a lot, that we don't see. But, and also, the wise and the true believer is that he makes out easily who is my enemy, who is my friend. Many of the leaders, the kings, the umara of Islam, they were all the close people, were also these enemies of Islam. They showed so much of love and respect and kindness and khidmat they make. Usually they will make khidmat more than anyone else also. But actually they've got a lot of enmity within them. And it is all just a show. So anyway, so to become bosom friends, that we should be very, very careful, stay far away from this. We should never become so much friends with a non-believer, whoever it is. If he's not a Muslim, we got business with him, keep our business also just to business. That is all. To become close, to socialize with them, that is also very dangerous to socialize with them. We go to their place, they come to our place, whether it is anyone else also. Even in socializing, doesn't mean we cut off completely. Like our neighbors are non-believers, for example. But we show kindness to them. They are in need of something. Well, for a mu'min, to help them out. Like for example, now in the lockdown, Allah reward the believers around the world. They were helping out people, Muslim, non-Muslim, everyone who were in difficulty, who didn't have food, etc. Muslims, alhamdulillah, it was a great thing that the Muslims did everywhere. So we should, we must know our limits also, and not just the right of anyone. To help out somebody, wherever it is, a person is in difficulty, in hardship, to try and help that person also. But bosom friends, that is out of the question. And the other thing is to respect the religious symbols. And this is also a very dangerous thing. Like with the time of this Diwali now, even with this Guy Fawkes, and with now Christmas coming and New Year coming, to celebrate these things. Like to send a Christmas card to somebody, New Year's card to somebody. Because, and many of us don't do it because of really that we have love for it. But just we are not aware of our deen. and we don't know that our priorities must be with Muslims. We must shun all their things. We must not involve ourselves in all their things. Even if it is just we don't mean anything. We just like school friends, for example, friends at university. Now you send a friend of yours a Christmas card, you send him a New Year's card, you don't mean anything. But it is not permissible at all. These are very, very dangerous things. So we should, and to respect and honor the religious symbols, that is of course very, very dangerous for our iman also. Then after this Christmas and New Year will come the Easter period. There also many of us, the Easter egg, for example, and we shouldn't even sell these things. We shouldn't be engaged in any of these things. Now with Christmas, there are some people that because they have a Christmas turkey, we will also have a turkey on that day or something. So all these things, and more it is, not that we have any affiliation with them, ignorance. Just ignorance. And we feel that we are just all one, we must have unity with them. But we should be very careful, it must not impact on our iman and on our Islam. This ignorance is also not a good thing. Ignorance itself is a guna. To stay ignorant is a guna. A person must acquire the ilm of deen. And the ilm of deen is not only to read Quran Sharif, how to make wudu, what breaks my wudu, etc. But it is to know all these things also. And when we do relate with the non-believers, in various levels we relate with them, the workplace, those who are going to schools, universities, etc., then we become, we should have the knowledge of how much can we, how much and in which way and what conditions they are that we have our relations with them. So any of their religious symbols, etc., we should stay away. The safety is to stay away completely. And if we have to somehow in business, etc., find out from the muftis, find out from the ulama what the masalas are. Today we find very many businesses also advertising all Diwali things, wishing them well over the Diwali period, wishing our Christian customers a happy Christmas, etc. All these things, we should find out what it is. The safest is just to keep away. But when we have to, find out the real, the right thing. And we shouldn't go over the limit also that we totally shun them. We don't even greet them. Or they are in difficulty, a neighbor, a friend, a person who is a cordial friend, and he's got some financial problems and you don't help him also, we should find out the limits. So there are various things that how much can we keep friendship, to what limit, and with what condition is the friendship. When all these occasions come, we must be very much more alert, and our own values. Today we have unfortunately brought their values into our system also. Like they have Christmas cards, we have got Eid cards. We also send around Eid cards to one another. Whereas that is not an Islamic thing at all. It is also a thing of their thing we have brought into our Islam. So we have to be, we must be conscious of our identity. We are Muslims. We must be loyal to our Islam. We have to be fully loyal to our Islam, and we should live like Muslims. Today, how many of us, we dress like them also, dress like the non-Muslims, and even worse, because, and it's more just ignorance, and just because the society that we are in, it overtakes us. Like for example, we come to know that people have birthday parties, which are also wrong. And then they have a theme for that. And it's Halloween. And now, good Muslim women, they also dress like witches now. Okay? And it is not that they have any malice or anything, that they really honor that or something. Just ignorance. Just going with the flow. Just being taken by the tide. How the wind is blowing, we're just going in that way. We forget our identity. We forget who we belong to, where we belong to, and how Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, how much effort he made that we have our identity. And to understand it in one way, These are those people, the non-believers generally, like just to make us understand, they will go for a walk in the mornings or in the late afternoon with their dogs. And as they go for a walk, the dog will be going in front of them. And they will be walking behind. So they have made the dog their imam. When the dog wants to urinate, defecate anywhere, with great ease, and they will wait for it, that it does all its things. So how much of respect they got for their dog. And now we have made those people our imams. Those people who made dogs their imam, we make them our imam. And then worse than that is, if we didn't have an imam, somebody to guide us, then still we could say we didn't have for them to follow such imam, such people. And giving up the imam, the leadership of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the identity Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us and made us realize who we are. We give Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam his way of life, his dressing, his loyalty to Islam. Small, small things Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, just reading the Torah, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face was changing. Not that he believed in the Torah, not that he gave it preference over the Quran Sharif, but just reading it. Today all their literature we give preference. Hey, how much of their literature we get involved in? How many of us watching their films and that? We haven't got time to read Quran Sharif, but to watch their films, etc., to play games which they have made, non-Muslims have made, all their games, all their cartoons, all their comedies, all those things we will have time. But our own things, we don't have time. So it is very important that we realize that we are Muslims and we have got our identity, our loyalties. Also to make us understand that person who was a hunter or a shepherd, and he had caught a cub, the baby of a lion, and he brought it home and made it grow up with the sheep. And as it grew up with the sheep, eventually this lion forgot its roar also, how a lion roars. It started bleating like the sheep bleat. And a lion eats the best, sayyidul ta'am, al-lahm. Lion's food is meat, but it started eating grass with them. So it was living with all the sheep and comfortably living with the sheep. On one occasion, when a real lion of the jungle came and saw that this is a lion, my brother, and he is living here with the sheep, he's gone very, very sick. These sheep are actually his meat, his food. He should be eating them up. But he's living comfortably. So this lion of the jungle told him, my brother. He said, you're not my brother. So much he forgot his identity. He said, these are my brothers here. So then he saw he's very, very sick and he needs ICU treatment. So he took him to the ICU, down to the dam, the little pond, river that was flowing. And he told him to look in there and told him, see, do you look like me or do you look like that stupid sheep? So now he understood that I look like you. So he says then, to try to roar. He was a lion. It was recorded in him, the roar of a lion. But over the time, mixing with the wrong company, being unaware of who we are, mixing with them totally, we forgot who we are. So now he forgot his bleating or his roar also, but it was there. Now when his kids got little attention, then he roared now like a lion. Now he realized his identity, that I'm not a sheep, I'm a lion. And I've got this roar. Now none of that sheep will be left. He'll go, he'll have some for that for his breakfast, others for his lunch, and the others for the supper. So like that today we living with them also. We forgot our language also. To say Allah is the doer. Today we say man-made things are the doers. that Allah will protect us, our language has changed, that other things will protect us, man-made things, man-made laws, we give preference to the laws of Allah Ta'ala, and to the way of ibadat shown to us by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we give preference to the man-made non-Muslims, atheists who tell us how to worship, how to pray, when to keep your masjid open, how many people are allowed. The 51 first person came, stop. Hey, we stopped them. Allah said that we call out the Iran and call them. We forgot our language also. We forgot our identity also. We live like them. We dress like them. We have our occasions and functions like them. We have Christmas with them. We have Diwali with them. When it's Eid, they have Eid with us. And they are also sending us all their food, etc. And we now, at this time, we also give them Christmas box, how many of us give? Christmas presents we give. Also, if we have got our workers in the house, and this is time usually they go for their holidays, and many of us we will give them and we'll say it's your Christmas box. So we are also really enhancing that occasion of theirs. We should tell them clearly this is a gift from our side. Don't say it's a Christmas box or anything like that. And moreover, we should try and give this at our Eid time, that we are happy to give away Eid little money at this time. So they become encouraged to accept Islam also. So we forgot our identity and we dress like them, we live like them, we start thinking like them also. Our thinking also has changed, that dunya is the object of our lives. Today their thinking, whether it is as far as like taking out insurance, etc., things which they can't do us, we also take out insurance. The insurance will protect us. The insurance will safeguard us. We forget who we are. And we have forgotten our identity. We have forgotten who we are. So it is very, very important that we understand that when we mix with them, then how to what extent we should. And our Islamic identity. And if we do go to them, mashallah, there are those women presently whose children also go to school, etc., or whatever. And they, when they come home, they make them read one surah of the Quran Sharif to take out the effects of those things. When we work with them the whole day, consciously, when we go for Maghrib, take out the effects of all those things. Make a little bit more zikr. Wash away all that. When great, great people, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, should go to the Mewat of those days. And when we say, as we say, that though even now there may be no Kentucky and Machachos and all these things in Mewat, but in the Mewat of those days, and he went solely for Dini work. That was his purpose. But, and the simplicity of those people was known. But yet when he came from there, he should go and have a cleansing up procedure to cleanse himself up. So we also, whenever we daily, we mix with them, cleanse ourselves of all the effects. And all these things have got effect. If we have got the books in our houses, we got Encyclopedia Britannica, nobody will say it's haram, but it's having an effect on us. We have Harry Potter in our house. It's going to, we have got Reader's Digest in our house. It's going to have an effect on us. There's just as we have Quran Sharif, we have Hadith Kitabs, and there are so many Kitabs which ulama have written, just by having that Kitab in the house, though you don't read it, just by having it, there will be protection. There will be barakat in the house. So having their things will have the opposite thing. All those, whatever their things are, and all having the videos, and all the things, in, though it is, it's just a video, it's just kept there, but it's going to have its effect on us. So Allah Ta'ala guide us that we become conscious of this, that we know our identity and we keep our limits. And as far as the religious things are concerned, especially to celebrate it, or even though we are not actually celebrating it, but we just becoming part and parcel of it, that is also very greatly harmful for us. So we should keep our limits and understand. On the other hand, to give them da'wah of Islam, if we mix with them with the niyat of da'wah, then that will be, in fact, the adab which we learn in Tabligh Jamaat. Like if you go for gasht, especially khususi gasht, and you go to the houses of the rich people, then Muslim people you are going to, but that richness of theirs just by sitting there 5 minutes in their house is going to have an effect on you. And you can become influenced with that. And you went and give da'wah, but you became the invited. And those things, just that, that person didn't say anything, but just by sitting there, now that your desire came, that as they have got how their house is, my house must be like that also. So you became Qazi Abdul Wahhab Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali of Ahmedabad in India. Whenever he used to send a jamaat out, especially foreign countries, and the jamaat came back, he should invite himself to their houses. And then he should go there and see now, have they brought a tea set from that country? Have they brought a dinner service set from that country? What have they brought? Did they go and give the awad or did they become invited? Did they become influenced now? And especially if it's a Masturat Jamaat, and women become affected. This we don't get at home here in our country. We are here now, so we let us buy this here, let us take this one. So we must be very careful. Our identity is very important. So Allah says that we take الَّذِينَ يَتَّخِذُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ. Are you looking for respect and honor by them? Have they got respect and honor? فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Real honor, respect is solely by Allah Ta'ala. It is in the deen of Allah Ta'ala. As Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. We are a nation and a people whom Allah has given honor in Islam. And if we will look for this honor and this respect in anything, in anyone else besides Islam, Allah will disgrace us again. Our honor is not in the riches of this world. Our honor is not in degrees. Our honor is not in the corporate world. Our honor is not in women going out and working, etc. Other people, their honor might be, they think, but our honor is just in Islam. So we should stick to our Islam and bring the true way of life within us. So in the, especially in these periods at all times, and we should try and watch our dressing, the dressing of our children also, adopting their dressing, etc., their lifestyle, any and everything of theirs, we should try and keep it away. So much so that our hijrah date was given to us, a separate date also. Everything of ours, we are a unique nation. We should just remain, and izzat is by Allah. Allah will give us that izzat. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah, and let us understand our position and our affiliation to Islam, inshallah.